comes to share this morning. Again, Father, we are blessed by our pastor. We thank you for him, and we thank you that for the word that you've given him to share with us this morning. Holy Spirit, we just ask for revelation to come, to be encouraged and equipped and just sent forth from here with just joy because we have met with you this morning. Again, Lord, we thank you that you indwell us, you indwell our pastor, and the things you have to share are valuable treasures for us. So again, God, we bless your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
That's good.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
To the still spaced out church. Amen. You know, I don't think I shared this with you. Children, no matter what their age are, continue to make you pray for them. I know about a month ago, I think I was sharing with you, Caleb got bit by a rockfish. And if that would have been a bigger one, I mean, he had no feeling in his arm there for a couple of days, but that could actually kill you. And so this past week, or 10 days ago, he sends this picture, and I don't know what he was doing in the water, but he got an eel wrapped around his arm and bit him. So, if we keep praying for our children, no matter what age they are, even when they're 40, you know? Keep praying. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning about staying clear of the doldrums. And it's something that we can do. We're in the doldrums. I'm going to explain to you what the doldrums are. And you'll see in real life that that's something that's happening out there right now. There's a physical doldrums, but there's also something that we experience that many people are. And so I'll explain that to you in a second. Where are we going to go this morning? Well, hopefully someplace. I chose and asked them to sing that last song. You are the air I breathe, because of the Holy Spirit living in us. And we constantly need to be taking in what the Holy Spirit has for us. Because it's always fresh, always fresh. And in the stagnant world that we're in so many areas, it's good to have the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. So we need a fresh a dose of the breath of the Holy Spirit. And then there's never been a day like this now that we need to breathe out what the Holy Spirit has breathed into us in order to refresh one another. So that's basically the two points we're going to go to today. Talking about the need for a freshness of the Holy Spirit, and it's something that daily, as we breathe in, as we talk to the Lord, as we read His Word, we can be refreshed and reminded. So I'm going to give you this here as a starting scripture. John chapter 20, verses 19. To 21. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay, what are the doldrums? There are actually a place on earth called the doldrums. And doldrum itself means a state or period of inactivity, stagnation, or depression. Kind of just describes our world out there, eh? Inactivity, stagnation, and depression. As described by the National Ocean Service, the doldrums is a popular nautical term that refers to the belt around the earth near the equator, where sailing ships sometimes get stuck on windless waters. Known to sailors around the world as the doldrums, the Intertropical Convergence Zone, ITCZ as it's pronounced, and sometimes referred to as the itch, is a belt around the Earth extending approximately 5 degrees north and south of the equator. Here, the prevailing winds, trade winds of the northern hemisphere blow to the northwest and collide with the southern hemisphere's driving northeast trade winds. Due to intense solar heating near the equator, the warm, moist air is forced up into the atmosphere like a hot air balloon. Because the air circulates in an upward direction, there is often little surface wind. That is why sailors well know that area can be calm, and sailing ships can be stuck there for weeks. And that's why it's called the doldrums. So I'll just repeat, it's a state or a period of inactivity, stagnation, or depression. And at the equator, it's windless waters. Well, let me just describe to you or read to you what a doctor has written in regards to what they call the pandemic brain. The pandemic brain, the state of anxiety, depression, and brain fog caused by a wide range of stress factors, conscious and subconscious, during a pandemic. Symptoms include forgetfulness, fatigue, headaches, attention problems, mood swings, appetite changes, and poor sleep and restlessness, etc. Pandemic brain is a real state of mind. It is considered physically and energetically stagnant by the way of slowing down your body's chi and blood circulation. Pandemic brain can be cyclical and draining, showing up through moods, sleep patterns, appetite, and even skin. I think during this time of pandemic, we have some doldrums going on, and they're real, they're real. And one of the things that, what they described is that area around the equator, it's an area, a period of inactivity, stagnation, or depression, and you can't go nowhere. And when you have the doldrums, it's very easy to give up. It's easy to do, well, just say, well, I'll do the best I can. I can't sail anywhere, I can't go anywhere, and I'm just gonna hope for the best. That's why I want you to stay away from the doldrums. Hey, being that, you know that, the Holy Spirit is continually speaking to us and breathing upon us. Let's take it all in. And if you do land there in the doldrums, remember what it was like to have, to breathe fresh air and feel a fresh wind. And say, God, I need to get back there and start again, or whatever. Take me to that place where I can sense your Holy Spirit and the energy of the Holy Spirit and the breath of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because there's many out there that are having trouble breathing life right now. The air around us is not good. Because it's not just a single factor out there. It's not just the virus. There's hatred, anger, prejudice, division, lots of uncertainty, lots of confusion. And it's choking the life of people. We need some fresh air. And the good news is God always has a lot of it. Plenty, more than enough. And I'm glad you guys have chosen to assemble yourself. Simon and I were talking about this, and he said, where it says to assemble yourselves, there's no factors involved. Just assemble yourselves, regardless. So I'm glad you're here today, and I trust you're glad you are as well. Good supply for us out there. The word we translate for spirit can also be translated wind, breath, or air. This is the air I breathe, the Holy Spirit living in me. Let's go back to our text here. This was the first time Jesus came through the locked doors, but this time it was out Thomas. Last week, I think we talked about the second time. But doors were locked for fear that they were going to suffer the same fate that Jesus had suffered. So probably most of them had been there since not long after the crucifixion. So they're in this room that's tight. The doors are locked, and they ain't going anywhere. The air was probably stale, and some fresh air would be nice, but they're not taking that chance. And that's what happens when you're fearful. Fear will do that to you. It's a place where it gets stagnant, and you can be depressed. You'd like a breath. You'd like a breeze. You'd like to open the door. You'd like to go somewhere. But fear says there's no chance of you doing that. You are staying here. Fear does that. But I'll tell you, get the love of God. Get full of the love of God, and that will cast out all fears.
That's right.
All right. So they needed some fresh air. They needed some hope. And then Jesus came. Jesus came. And I think that's the first breath of fresh air. Then he says, peace. the second breath of fresh air. Then he shows them his scars on his side, and they realize this really is the Lord. This is Jesus. This is him. We have hope now. And then he says peace again, and I believe they take another breath. Then he commissions them. And that might have been the only time they might have choked a bit. I don't know what they're expecting in that closed room. They weren't expecting him to begin with, and he doesn't even open the door. He just comes in. And now he's giving them hope. He's giving them peace. He's calming them. Then he says, now I want you, as the Father has sent me, so I'm going to send you. It's like, okay. And then he says, with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, God is never going to not equip us if he's going to call us to do something. He will equip us. And right there in that room was another breath of fresh air. It was Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit on them. Man, we need that today. A breath of fresh air. And that's all we can do. And I just said, that's all we can do. But that's what we can do. We say, Lord, you are the air I breathe. Because without you, we can do nothing. We need you. We need the Holy Spirit. So then we take it to the next event here, in Acts chapter 2, which you're familiar with. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There's a long ways from that time in that room with the door locked, full of fear and stagnant air. Now, here's the day of Pentecost. Into the room blew the fresh air that appeared like fire, bringing, I believe, a sweetness and a freshness that enlivened the disciples and filled them with a sense of their calling to be witnesses and to make disciples of all nations. Fear was gone. Fear was gone. And, you know, just after that, Peter, he stands up. Such a changed man, but filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, filled with the desire to share the gospel, the good news, wherever he can. So he begins right that day, explaining everything that was happening and had happened. Fear was gone. Now they lived with confidence and conviction. Today we need a new wind to blow across our country and around the world. Let it begin with us as we breathe in the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit so we can stay away from the doldrums, stay away from the stagnation and inactivity, but also we can refresh and encourage one another. And no matter what God puts in our life, be it giftings or callings or enablings, whatever it is, it never needs to stop here. We're just supposed to be a vessel. And so we can take, in this particular day and age, a time when we can encourage others. So we see this with Paul to the church of Corinth. He writes, even after we came into the province of Macedonia, we found no relief. We were restless and exhausted. Troubles met us at every turn. Outwardly, I faced conflicts and inwardly emotional turmoil. This is nothing new. Paul experienced these things way back there, and combined with all his jail and everything else, and stoning and everything else that he did to him. But as Jesus brought peace into the room after the resurrection, here Paul acknowledges, but God. Always like that when there's the but God factor, because you know it's going to be good news. But God, who always knows how to encourage the depressed. How? Well, he encouraged us greatly by the arrival of Titus. We were relieved not only to see him, but because of the report he brought to us of how he refreshed his heart. He told us of your affection toward me, your deep remorse, and how concerned you were for me. This truly made my heart leap for joy. So, in the midst of all of the things that were happening, God never forgets you. He knows you. He knew Paul needed some help. He knew Paul needed to be refreshed. And so, the church at Corinth refreshed Titus, and then Titus went and refreshed Paul. It's beautiful. And I believe that this is a beautiful time for us to just sense, where are you taking me, Holy Spirit? Who is there someone I need to be calling? Is there someone I need to drop into? Maybe drop a note or an email? There's so many ways of being able to connect with people these days. And on the other hand, You know, he hasn't forgotten you. And you can expect encouragement from one another. And I think that's awesome. Making something happen positive and godly and refreshing in somebody else's life. You know, don't you hate it if you're around a negative person all the time? It's just like, I just want to be out of here. I don't want this. So you try to encourage them, and then get yourself around some people who are encouraging and refreshing. So that's Paul, the letter or to the church of Corinth, because of Titus, because of that church, encouraged this man. This man went out and encouraged Paul. So that's good. We find also in the second letter to Timothy, Paul writing, Nicholas, so many times, Onesphorus, was like a breath of fresh air to me. I never seemed to be ashamed of my chains. That is a beautiful picture. That's a beautiful story. Many times, not just once, but many times, he went and refreshed Paul. And didn't matter if he had to go to jail to see him. He wanted to encourage him in the Lord. And so may our Lord Jesus bestow compassion and mercy upon him and his household. For when he arrived in Rome, he searched and searched for me until he found out where I was being held so that he could minister to me. He just didn't give up. And that's for us. He had a purpose in mind. He had a plan in mind. He needed to see Paul. And he was going to find him at any cost and find out where is Paul being held in. So he was going through the whole city. Somehow, he was directed and he found him. And he was refreshing to Paul on more than one occasion. So welcome the fresh air of the Holy Spirit. Let's put up those sails and see where the wind of the Holy Spirit blows. Stay out of the doldrums so that we're open and available to the Holy Spirit to move us. Get out of that stagnant area and continue to breathe in that air of God's goodness. And finally, I end a statement to the church of Thessalonica. Paul says, encourage the hearts, and I say this to you, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers, support one another, just as you have already been doing. Jesus came to liberate those in prison. And there's many people in prison today because of fear. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit, it might be the encouragement from you. It might be the call that you make. It might be that visit you make. Whatever it is, be open to the Holy Spirit to help liberate people. Again, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your Holy Spirit living in me. Will you stand with me and we will dismiss you? Amen. Father, we just thank you again for another beautiful day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the breath of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that even into today's life, you come into our closed areas and you say, peace be unto you. And you repeat that, peace be unto you. And we thank you for that word of peace, that comfort of the Holy Spirit, that leading of the Holy Spirit, that wind of the Holy Spirit that carries us and takes us to be a blessing to others. We thank you for everyone who's here today, Lord, and for those who could not make it, Lord. We just pray a blessing upon them, wherever they are in their homes, in their on the road, or Lord, some that are in the seniors' places, Lord. We just pray like that no walls held you back then, no walls can hold you now. And we just release the Spirit of God into everybody's home, into everybody's place, Lord, that even today as they watch this and listen, as they meditate, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be real in a real fresh way to them and encourage their hearts, encourage their lives, and bring that hope back. We give you thanks for an awesome week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks.